This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
I'll be speaking with us briefly this morning on the topic, Taking Back the Narrative. Taking back the narrative. Oftentimes, our parents say or tell me about the things that they are going through, about the problems they are facing in their lives, the challenges they are facing in their lives, and it just seems as if they are not the one in control of their lives. As if somebody, a third party, is controlling what is happening in their realities. They will say, I want my life to go in a particular direction. But Malanga, it is going in the opposite direction. I wanted my marriage to go in this direction. But it is going the other direction. I want my finances to go in a particular direction. But it is going in the opposite direction. I have prayed, I have fasted, I have sown seed, I have done vigils, but it is still going in the opposite direction. My life is not going in the direction I want it to go. My story is not going in the direction I want it to go. My situation is not going in the direction I want it to go. Somebody somewhere or something somewhere is controlling my testimony or the outcome of my story. And I know that all the ministers here can identify with the scenario I just painted. That is barely a minister that had not met somebody or many people, or that the majority of those that you speak with or that you minister to do not share this story. A story of being pseudo-controlled. A testimony of frustration and an inability to determine or predetermine the outcome of your own story. We'll hear Christians using the term, if God wills. You know, the term, if God wills, or by the grace of God, when the scripture started using them in the New Testament and was saying to the Christians that we should put it in their statements, it wasn't meant to be an excuse. It was meant to be a cautionary language so that Christians would not stand boastful. Imagine that Apostle Paul was traveling as a prisoner. He was with other prisoners and with the warden and other soldiers from Rome, and they were sent him out to the ship. And he knew the outcome of the journey from the beginning. He knew that they were going to have a crash and that it would jeopardize their life. Their lives. He knew. The outcome of his story was not a strange, was not something that was given up to chances or maybe it was clear. That's the life of a Christian. A Christian's journey is not a journey that ends up with maybe. We are set on a path that we must follow. Every single one of us, there is a predestined destination for us, and that predestination is at work in us. We cannot turn it off. The word of God over our life has programmed us as children of God to follow a particular direction unto success. Let me say that again. I like to understand it. Because many of us, we are struggling with destiny. We don't know it. But we are the architect of our own misfortunes. We do not understand how destiny works. Many Christians, in fact, when I speak to Christians, I am perplexed. Trying to look for the right way to put the words together. Because these things, I consider them to be troubling, difficult areas of Christianity. When you see a believer who is struggling, fighting, struggling with destiny. We do not understand, or we do not pay attention to the instructions of God concerning our personal lives. And many of us are very well used to being in control of our lives, that we struggle with instructions to branch to the left or branch to the left, or go forward or pause. We don't pay attention. At the end of the day, we end up struggling with God Himself over our own lives. Your life is a continuum. My life is a continuum. There has to be constant progress. If you allow the Holy Spirit to be the Lord of your life, you will see many of us, we want our life to be so mono. That has never been the example of scriptures. In the Bible, everyone, not one, if you pay attention, what I'm teaching today is as if it is written in one line of scripture. It is observatory knowledge. Observe. Was it not Solomon that said, go to the ants and observe them? Study the pattern of their life, of their habits, of their behavior, and learn wisdom. Observe all the prophets in the scriptures. Observe all the apostles in the scripture. There is an upward scaling. Upward. They didn't start big. It didn't matter where they started. This is by that. Oh, I'm in my 50s when I became born again. So it was too late. Or I'm my 60s when I became born again. No. There was no limitation about age. But it was upward. It wasn't programmed to only our stereotype and habits. There was an upward scaling. Okay, I became born again today. But when I became born again, I was drowning in debt. My mind was all good. I was even sick in my body. And then I gave my life to Christ. The first thing God will take away is the sickness. You will be praying that all the problems will be solved at once. But that's not how it happens. You will take your bed and walk first. Before you will receive purpose, you will first receive health. It's always upward. Pay attention. There is no use for a sick man who is asking God, make me a billionaire, when the person is sick and dying. That is the wrong prayer to pray. A lot of us don't pay attention. We should pay attention. We should. We don't understand the system of God. But we are in our own way. We are gods, and we know how we handle issues. If you have a child that you have put in the most expensive school in the world, who has an exam to write today, and the child wakes up from the bed, and the child is very sick, you will throw away the exam. Your primary concern will be first how to get the child healed. You will not care how much you paid for the exam. You may be complaining about it. You may say, "Oh my God, this is very uncomfortable. I just paid $2 million for this GRE exam, and this boy got sick." But you are just complaining. Your primary focus will be how do we get this boy healed? You get him healed first. When he's well and he's back to life, you can think of exam. There's an upward scaling. Many of us are burdened by too many things that are unnecessary part time. And you should not be like that. A man in many troubles must solve the ones that he can solve and then trust that the ones that are beyond his power, he will get help with them. That's how a Christian must think. The devil is not in charge. Because once you see the devil is in charge, you just throw the narrative to the dogs. You have given up. That statement means, there's nothing I can do. Only God can help me now. The devil has taken over my life. When you have that kind of mentality, you just, in your subconscious, you just throw the narrative to the wind. You have lost control of your own narrative. So everywhere you go from that point, and some people are already in their 30s. Some people are in their 20s, late 20s. And that is the narrative. You got a call from a very young lady. She said, they are attacking her. Who is attacking you? It is the church I attended. I attended the church. They are cultic. All the way to the church I had to witchcraft. And as she was speaking, I think she was lying. Until she has lost the plot. She was going through a problem. You cannot doubt that. Somebody cannot call you. I'll be telling you all this out of ordinary, not extraordinary, out of the ordinary stories. It is that the person has a mental issue, or the person has lost the plot. So she spoke. I listened patiently. She was the one that begged me. She said, "America, please listen to me patiently. I've sent you messages." So, and usually when I have people who are so lost in their own narratives that they believe they are victims, that they believe, "Oh, the devil has taken over their life," and I send messages, I just archive them. They are too much of a hard work. I just feel, well, when you are ready. People who have a mindset that the devil has taken over their life, but I mean, God, I'm finished, I'll just archive. Because this one, you will be talking to them, they will be insisting that the devil has taken over. So why did you bother calling me? God will not come down from heaven And if the devil has taken over your life, I am so sure of it, that's where you will be. You are already lost. So don't waste my time. The man or woman whose life will be open to redemption and saving is a man or woman who knows that I can take over my life. I can take charge of my own destiny. I can still win. That determination has to be there. Say, Baravinga, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. But things are happening, I'm not sure, but this is where I'm going. I do not believe that anybody has taken over my life. The devil has other his own children that is tormented every day. Unbelievers are the devil's children. He has so many. If he wants to kill 1 million people, he can kill 1 million people. He has children that he can kill. You belong to God. You don't belong to the devil. The devil does not have the right to touch you. That's scripture. That's the truth. Not only scripture. That is the fact. In my house, my children sleep under my roof. Your children do not sleep under my roof now. Everybody has their own home. And they have their own children under their roof. And they can do with their children whatever they like. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. We sleep under his roof. We bear his name. How then can a born again Christian be saying, "Well, I mean, God, the devil has taken over"? We, where? Well, how? How now? My second son will say, "How now? How now? How now? How is it that you are a child of God and it is the devil that is taking over your life? And if you continue that narrative, you are done for. Because you would lose the power of agency. And the power of agency is the power of control. And the power of control is the power of your will. You will not be able to exercise your own will over your life because you believe a superior power or a devilish power is already exercising the will on your behalf. You are going to lose hope. And then there will be no faith. And then there will be no love. And then you are dead. When we sing, "My life is in your hand," we are literally saying that God is the owner of our life. But that is by proxy. We know that we control the direction of our own lives by the Spirit of God that dwells in us. We don't say, "My life is in your hand," and then you sleep at home, you don't go to work. "My life is in your hand." You are supposed to have a relationship. You sit in your room, you don't go out. "My life is in your hand. Your food is finger, you don't pick. My life is in your hand. You are supposed to go to church, you don't go. My life is in your hand. You have engagements, you don't do. My life is in your hand. You have a business, and I clear, it doesn't matter. If I don't do the business, money will come to me." That's not how it works. "My life is in your hand." It's a proxy thinking. Has nothing to do with what you have to do to control the narrative over your own destiny. Remind yourself that the person in charge of your life is you, which was why the Bible said, "All men shall give account." If your life is not in your care, if it is not in your hand, if it's not in your control, why would you be the one giving an account? Why would you be the one? You shouldn't give an account now. God is not stupid now. God knows that your life is not in your hand now, that you are just a puppet. So God will go to the puppeteer and tell you to come and give account. But the Bible recorded it clearly that all men shall give account. Born again Christians shall give account to Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And those who are not born again will give account at the white throne judgment. Why would they give account? Well, we know that the God of this world is controlling them. Is that not what we say? We say the God of this world is controlling them. They don't know what they are doing. The God of this world has taken over their thinking, but they will give account. Of course, they know what they are doing. And they will give account because they have the agency. They've been given a charge of their own destinies. And so, while you have control over your life and destiny. Don't allow anybody to make you crazy in the middle of your years. Don't lose the narrative. Don't lose the plot. Fight the good fight of faith. Regain your lost territories. Don't give up. Don't lie down and say, when death comes, it comes. I'm tired. But don't be like Elijah. Don't say, I'm not better than my father has come and take me. Don't fall into despair and despondency. His mercies are new every morning, every new day. Fight afresh. And make sure that by the close of the day, you are the one in charge of your own narrative. This is my story. This is my song. This is my story. This is my song. You must have your own story. You must have your own song. And you must be an active participant in your own story. Nobody will write your story for you. And nobody will sing your song for you. This is my story. Loving God, every time I get pregnant, somebody will come in the dream and take my baby. Appa, it is your story. Why are you giving the plot to? You are not a victim. You are not powerless. You are not powerless. Exercise this power. Be strong-headed. Be stubborn. There are people that are supposed. Where did you keep your stubbornness? What did you think? Did you think that when we became born again, we were totally supposed to throw away our hard-headedness, our stubbornness, our strong will? You think we're just supposed to throw it away? No, we're supposed to use it for Jesus now. Did you hear me? Let me say it again. Now that you are born again, you use your stubbornness for Jesus. You use your strong will for Jesus. You use your determination for Jesus. You use your obstinacy for Jesus. Use it in the right direction. You will get a mail or a letter that says, oh, we are not giving you this time. You say, no, I refuse. That is you being stubborn. Somebody will tell you by this time tomorrow. We are taking the contact for you. You will look at the situation. You will pick your phone. You will tell the person, I dare you. I will deal with you in heaven. Jesus will pity you. Ah, say, eh? Don't let us touch him. Oh, he's not a weakling. Ah, somebody that I said I wanted to take away his job, that said he will deal with me from heaven, that just will pity me. Ah, let's leave him. There's a room for you to fight. The Bible says you fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up the narrative. Don't be so lily-livered. I don't know. Don't be a namby-pamby. Don't be that kind of Christian that let's say everybody is beating me. Everybody is riding me. Ah, hey. Don't be that kind of Christian. Don't be somebody that can be easily bullied by the devil. That the devil will come and then he has come again. I'll hide another chair. Eh? The Bible says you should not give him a foothold. You will stand at the gate of your own destiny and you will fight. Ah. This is my life. You cannot take it from me. I mean it. You don't fight by crying. You will fight with resolute determination. This is my life. This is my marriage. Ah, you cannot take away my marriage. You cannot take anything from me. You will take the narrative. Hey, you are married. So a stranger is luring your husband away from your marriage or luring you away from the marriage. Don't listen to all these social media people that will say, leave it, let it go. Don't go and sell 4Runner for Corolla. I'm telling you. Don't throw away a good life for a super reality. Don't throw away a good destiny for a destiny that has no reckoning with God. Don't throw away your testimony for nothing. Don't trade your glory for shame. I'm begging you this morning, and I know you are listening to me clearly. The one thing you should do is defend the gate of your own city, of your own destiny. Fight the good fight of faith and win. The devil cannot fight everybody at the same time. He is not God. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipresent. He tries, he tries. But when he sees that you cannot be shaken, he will move on to somebody else. And like I said, he has a lot of children in his own pen. He has them in his own cage that he can just take and kill. He just likes to trouble other people, but he has his own children that he can kill. He has billions of children. That's the truth. In the world today, we have billions that belong to the devil. We have billions that belong to God. God has his children, the devil has his children. He doesn't need to come and trouble you. He can just kill his own children for him. He knows that they are giving birth to children. Many of them are having 10 wives, 15 wives, and they are giving them children by the dozens that they can kill and eat and destroy. That's their fate. You belong to God. The devil has no right over your destiny. Stop this narrative. Don't be a victim. It is the one thing that once a Christian begins to play victim, he or she has lost the plot. You are not a victim. You are not a victim. You are born to win. You are born to succeed. Guard your laws. You look at scriptures. Whenever any Christian or any of the prophets or any of the Jews in the scriptures, whenever they are down and they have ashes on their head, like the story of Esther or the story of Elijah or any of them that they are down, guard your loins. Look at David when he lost that son. They said the boy is dead. David got up. Give me my food. Everybody said, what? We thought he would even be more devastated now. He said, no, he has died. It's time for me to eat. Did you read it in the Bible? How can you be saved and actually sad? So somebody broke your heart 3 years ago, you are still crying. Something, see, be careful. It's early in the morning and Sunday morning, and everybody should be happy today. We are praying. But don't let me talk to you like an African dad. Be careful. Somebody broke your heart. Okay, go ahead and break another person now. Ah, it's really your heart. It's your heart. It's your heart, Pogba. That's why they will break anyhow. You don't have hearts to break. Go and live your life. Go and live your life. Live. Come out of that ash and nonsense and live your life. Get up. Get up. Go have your bath. Use your makeup. Dress up. Fine girl. Get out. Live your life. Fight the gate of your own destiny. Defend your territory. This is your life. You will not live my life for me. I will not live your life for you. This is my life. I tell myself that all the time. This is my life. At the end of my journey, either I do well, I don't do well. It's up to me. I have all that I need for life and godliness, but I have to apply it. If I don't apply it, I'll be a failure. If I apply it, I will be a tremendous success. I'm not lily-livered. I'm not weak-willed. I have a strong will. I was born of strength, forged in the flames of the spirit. I know the right from the wrong. I am willing to live, to fight, and to win, and I will win. Don't allow any sickness to hide the narrative. Don't fight it. Don't allow finances. Fight it. Fight it. Don't allow despondency. Fight it. Refuse it. This is my story. I will write my own story. A sickness will not write my story. EFCC will not write my story. Debtors will not write my story. No negative thing will write my story. Divorce will not write my story. I will write my own story. I am in charge of my fully in charge of my own agency, and I will win. I fight to win all the time. I live to win. It's not every day I live to win. I'm not tired of winning. I win all the time, and that is my narrative. And this is your story too. As we pray, this is your mindset. This is your synthesis. You have every territory is yours. Do not concede any territory to the enemy. The children of Israel were given lands. Some of them took over 100%, some took 50, some shared. It is not because God is wicked, it's because of them. They were weak. The strong ones took over their territories 100%. The weak ones, lions were chasing them up and down and killing them. Some, they were sharing with the enemy. Choose to be on the winning side. Choose to win. This is my admonition to us this morning. As we pray, remember my words. Let it fight in your heart. Win. What did I say? Win. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you are blessed, please submit and shout glory.
Glory.
Yes, glory to God. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.